The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, when people sneeze, we often say, God bless you. Urban legend states that we do this because when a person sneezes, a heart skips a beep. Well, I'm no doctor yet, anyway. And I don't play one on TV. But the truth is, before that notion came into being, God gave us the prescription for what to do for a sneeze. Next, some people will never get it. They have no idea what the button "I found it" means. They mock all those silly Christian bumper stickers and snare at all those people who attend church. Look at them dummies. But why do they feel this way? Because of what they love and because of what they don't love. That's why they feel this way. And finally, there's more to the Christian walk than Sunday mornings. I love good sharing, good testimonies, good preaching, and good teaching. I marvel at the wisdom that comes from the lips of the anointed people of God. They share the truths and the testimonies of God with such grace. However, there is only one who shares with such power that just hearing it is the blessing.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Boy, I like that. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. How much more? Oy vey. So much more. We're asking you, of course, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us live. We're here today, live, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Terrific T will answer the phone, and that will be terrific. You see, that's why we call her Terrific T. That's how that works. Here's the thing. Any topic is open for conversation. And the reason is because it's not professional radio. It's just all of us getting together, being a community of Christians on the radio, but we're connecting through phones, through the internet, through the radio, and just like having a good time drawing closer to the Lord and helping one another as we see the day approaching. Now, maybe you have something you want to share, something the Lord's done in your life. Maybe you had something really make sense to you on Sunday and you just wanted to share it. And it's like, wow, I really want to just share that kind of thing. Maybe you have something that's really heavy on your heart, a prayer request. Or perhaps you have something else that's going on in your mind. You just want to try to bounce it off other brothers and sisters. Maybe you have an answer to trivia. Do you have an answer to Bible trivia? How about this one? About whom did Jesus say, take off the grave clothes and let him go? Who did Jesus say that about? Should be pretty easy. If you think you know, 972-445-0770 or text in 214-210-8483 or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That is also, by the way, an excellent place to give if you're so inclined, as we are in that spot again, as we always are, after we pay the bills, after we pay the radio bills. It's always the same thing, always going, wow, how did that happen? Anyhow, we encourage you to check out hemustincrease.org. Can we do that? Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org.
Facebook,
He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, we got somebody ready to answer the trivia question. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, you're talking to Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How you doing?
I'm good. You doing all right? You have a good weekend?
Yeah, I had just had a lot. Oh, my goodness. I had so much going on, and I told Noelle, we were talking about it, and she said, you know, every so often, you know, you got to just not. And it's just like, okay, because I just finished this massive paper. I got another massive paper. Just working on the book. I probably put 35 hours in the last 2 weeks on the book, just trying to get it out there. And it was just like, oh, really? I was just like, it's bad when you can watch a test pattern on television and think it's fascinating. That's when you know, you got to get a little more rest than that, right?
No doubt.
No question about that. Okay, not a tough question, but still always important for us to keep our brains into it. About whom did Jesus say, take off the grave clothes and let him go?
I think he was talking about Lazarus.
That is correct, Amundo. And I will say, so for those that are trying to figure this out, so Jesus, when he's there, he said, Lazarus, come forth. So there's some speculation, though it's kind of hard to define, that there were more than one dead person in that area, and so he had to specify him by name or they all would have come forth.
We're just like, uh-oh.
That's just a wild thought right there. And then it's like, take that stuff off him. Time for him to start again. And that's another thing, is taking off the dead clothes and putting on the new clothes. That's a big key, too. Good job, Deborah. I appreciate it.
All right, and have a good day.
All right, thank you. And keep us posted on Susie and as well as how you're doing as well, okay?
Oh, okay. Thank you. I sure will.
Okay.
God bless.
Bye-bye. All right, Numbers chapter 6, verse 23 through 27. Twice you got it. It's like you got hit both marks. You didn't even know it. Good job, T. T is just like, whoops, no, that was perfect. Whoops, no, that was perfect. Yeah, okay, it's been a little while, folks. Relax. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 through 27. The Lord spoke to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons how you are to bless the Israelites. You see, right there, I would stop in my devotional reading and I would say, I would repeat it. I'd repeat it to myself. So the Lord spoke to Moses. I always love it when God speaks because it's always fascinating. Tell Aaron and his sons how you are to bless the Israelites. Okay? Wow. How? How do you bless the Israelites? This is kind of a process for, it's for inductive Bible study, but it's also for an expository Bible study, but it's also for a topical Bible study, for all of it. Just when you read the scriptures, slow down. Okay, you're not in a race to get to the next word. You're just spending time with the Lord in his word, right? Tell Aaron and his sons how you are to bless the Israelites. Get ready. Say to them. Okay, say to them. Okay, so this blessing coming from something verbal. The Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look with favor on you and give you peace. Now watch this. In this way, they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. No, if you just slow down and just like, hold on. How do you bless them? The Lord tells them how to bless them. You're going to bless them by saying something. Oh, okay, cool. All right, I get that. All right, so then there's bless, protect, shine, gracious, favor, peace. All that's cool. And then in verse 27, he says, and in this way, they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. So, what the way that God is trying to kind of communicate this without being legalistic, I don't need any legalistic Larrys, we're not looking for that, is God pours out his blessing where his name is. Okay, yet another reason to pray in the name of Jesus, but that's besides the point. We're not even covering that. But he's like, when you speak this to them, speak this, the Lord bless you, and then I'm going to bless them because you've spoken my name on them, and when I see them, I will then bless them. And it's like, so what you're trying to tell me, Dave, is that you can speak a blessing to a person. Yeah, but not because of your power or not because of you or your positive confession or even, to be quite frank, even your level of faith or anything else. It's when you speak to them of the name of the Lord and they receive then of the name of the Lord that they are blessed then by the Lord because his name is on them. And that's all there is. Just nothing more, nothing less, nothing weird, nothing bizarre. That's why, amazingly, we should really recognize, even though there's a lot of teaching contrary, and I understand it, but when we're calling one another Christians, and I know the first time they called them Christians, it wasn't the most popular thing in the world, but that was 2,000 years ago, and it's different now. The idea behind that is that we are using the word Christ upon us, and that name Christ upon us gives us, because he's God, the blessings that come from God. It's just like, okay, good to me. I mean, I like it, right? I don't have to, you know, it's not something wild and wacky or anything like that. But that's why we go by Christians. That's why we go, that's why you go by child of God. That's why that happens. And so the pronouncement of the blessing, whether it's protect, shine, gracious, favor, or peace, is all because God puts his name upon them, and where God finds his name, he blesses. And so we go by Christian because where God puts his name, he blesses. Okay. I'm in. I'm not going to argue against that. Why would I? All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
All of mankind, destroying everyone and everything we find. He's the
home. What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away. That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
As promised, we are going to now have our interview with the Apostle Peter. We were fortunate enough to have an interview a couple weeks back with an angel from heaven, and now we've been given permission from the powers on high to go ahead and have an interview with the Apostle Peter. Peter, thank you so much for taking the time for whatever's going on there in the heavenly realms and talking to us.
Well, Dave, you're welcome. I'm real glad to see that people are carrying on the work of loving our Lord Jesus Christ and advancing the kingdom. And I'm very, very, very pleased to see that the radio station is moving forward in advancing the Lord Jesus Christ in his lordship, both in personal lives and in corporate lives. It's a great thing for me to see.
Well, thank you, Peter. That's great. And so I guess I want to ask you some basic questions. I'm really breaking this interview down into two separate sections. The first section is kind of before the resurrection, and the second section is kind of after the resurrection, after the ascension.
Okay, Dave, that'll be fine. I know exactly what you're trying to accomplish here. Probably unknown to you is that we know exactly where this is going.
Well, Peter, I don't want to say that that's kind of scary, but okay. Here's my first question to you, sir. What are you absolutely the most proud of as a disciple and as an apostle of Jesus Christ?
Well, David, that's a great question. The thing that I am absolutely the most proud of was the moment that Jesus asked all of us to identify who he really was. And it was at that moment that I was able to say that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. That's the actual rock that the church has been built on. I think some people thought that the rock might have been me myself, but it was my confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. It is that statement of faith that the church has been built upon, and that the gates of hell have never nor will ever prevail against.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Get ready for your next trivia question. Harder question. Okay, harder question. When healing a little girl, Jesus said, "Talitha cum." Talitha cum. What do those words mean? Ooh, aren't we sneaky? Yes, a little bit. Thank you. By the way, that's from the Flintstones, for those that don't know. Aren't we sneaky? That comes back from there. 972-445-0770. That's the number to call. Also, 214-210-8483. If you want to text in, 214-210-8483. Or you can email in david@hemustincrease.org. Trivia question. When healing a little girl, Jesus said, "Talitha cum." What do these words mean? Wowzer. Okay, two things to tell you. Don't forget about our good friend Samson. We're trying to take care of him. So you can get the address for the church either on our website, hemustincrease.org, under Contact Dave. That's probably the easiest way to do it. And then whatever you want to give, make it by a check and do He Must Increase Ministry, so HMIM, and we'll just give all that money to Samson, and we'll just go from there, see what happens. Okay, so I want Jennifer, and I want everybody to see before we give it so everybody knows what's going on, so it's exactly correct. That's number one. And then number two, don't forget about the free book electronically. And then number three, so you can go to our website and get a free book, or you can order the actual copy. I gave a copy to T. It's not tiny, is it? It's not like a tiny book, though. I mean, it's not.
It's not very thick. It's like a dictionary book, Webster.
Just a little thinner.
Yeah, it's thin. It's like thin and long, but it has a really nice title cover and title name.
Yeah, I like the title too. I like the way it did come out good. So there you go. You have all that. And now because of all that, now you get to hear another joke. See how I set that up? So now you have to hear a joke. You can't even feel.
Right. You just set it up great.
Yeah. I mean, there's a go. Okay, here we go. I don't feel this is going to be a winner, but I'm just going to tell it anyway. A couple had two little boys, ages 8 and 10, who were excessively mischievous. That's it. The two were always getting into trouble, and their parents could be assured that if any problem occurred, it was because of their two young sons. They were somehow involved. The parents were at their wit's end. So they went to the clergyman to ask advice because they couldn't figure out what to do and they had not been successful in disciplining the children. So she asked her husband if they thought they could speak with the clergyman. The husband said, "We might as well. We need to do something before I really lose my temper." The clergyman agreed to speak to the boys but asked to see them individually. Ooh. The 8-year-old boy went to meet with them first. The clergyman sat the boy down and sternly asked him, "Where is God? Where is God?" The boy made no response, so the clergyman repeated the question in even a sterner tone. "Where is God?" Again, the boy made no attempt to answer, so the clergyman raised his voice even more and shook his finger in the boy's face. "Where is God?" At that, the boy bolted from the room and ran directly home, slamming himself in the closet. His older brother followed him in the closet and asked him what had happened. The younger brother replied, "We are in big trouble this time. God is missing, and they think we took him." That's not bad. Okay. God is missing him. Okay. Hey, we do what we can, folks. You get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. I feel bad because I know a couple people bought like extra books. I'm sorry they're big, but it's fun that way. Sorry.
That's all I can say to you. 972-445-0770 if you want to call in. 214-210-8483 for the trivia. Trivia question. When healing the little girl, Jesus said, Talitha cum. What do those words mean? If you have the answer, let us know. If not, we'll give it at the end. Here we go. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 through 11. You ought to know anytime somebody's teaching or talking out of 2 Thessalonians, people cringe. Because this is the least fun of the letters. This is kind of like the most serious stuff. This is what it says in verse 8. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. Okay? First of all, I did not write this, so don't be yelling at me. Second, this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 through 11. Third, this is talking about the end time as the appearance of the lawless one is coming, and people are going to be drawn to that lawless one, and it tells you why. They would not receive the love of the truth to be saved, and because they kept rejecting the truth, God, not anybody else, God is going to send a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. If you want to know how easy that can happen, take a break. I don't care what side you're on. Listen to what I just said. I don't care what side you're on. And just look at the political spectrum, how on both sides it seems like none of them can come to reconciliation. And it's like always over here and over here. And there's this big dispute. Well, you can see that as an example of what takes place in regards to the gospel. People that reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are not going to be saved. I know, but Dave, what if they have 99,000 good works and 97,000 bad works? That just means they're just going to go to hell because you do not get saved by your good works. Sorry, doesn't work that way. In fact, the scripture says that all our righteousness is as filthy rags before the eyes of God. Everything that we do, somewhere in that evil heart of ours, desperately wicked heart, there's something more nefarious going on, and that is not the way. You cannot have almost perfect enter into perfection, and that's what you're saying. When you're saying, well, they have 2,000 more good works or 100,000 more good works or 500,000 more good works, you're saying almost good enough should be good enough for perfect, and it's not. And because they didn't love the truth, John 17:17, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. What did Jesus say was truth? The word. That's why Jesus is called the word. In the beginning was the word. And they are going to keep rejecting and keep rejecting and keep rejecting to the point where there is no way that they're going to respond. God's going to go, okay. I'll just send you strong delusions, and then you'll just be like a basket case from the spiritual point of view. Oh, well. And you see, you think, well, that just doesn't seem fair. Hey, they're the ones that are rejecting God. This is the same thing that happened. You think, well, it shouldn't be fair that everybody died. First of all, nobody is entitled to life in the general sense that God gave man life. Nobody earned that. God gave life as a gift. Next, as God being the life giver, people took their fist, raised it up to God, and say, I'm not listening. Well, okay, then he could just kind of take that oxygen back, couldn't he? But the bigger part about this is understanding that some of these things are outside of us. You don't get to say who is or isn't deluded. You don't know. I don't know. All I know is if they reject God, God's going to settle the score. That's what I got. That's what I know. And here's the other part of what I know. Verse 13, because I need to have something. I don't want to just go around thinking that. Verse 13 says, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation because you love the gospel, because you know it's true, because Jesus Christ is the Lord, you and I, we should be thanking God for each other and for our salvation. We should be constantly be thankful to God that God chose us. And you think, well, why did God choose me and not this person? Or why am I more favored? Or why do I get it? When you get to heaven, you can ask God all the questions you want. I support you in that, as I too will have a gazillion, bazillion, bazillion questions. But not before the first million years when I'm lying on my face laying on my face, fully on my body, flat out on the floor. Is that better? And just saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because that's the key. And the key is I'm thankful. I know people who have rejected Jesus Christ right up until the end. Are they in heaven? I don't think so. Not from what I can understand from what's in there. What I know is right up to the end, I've also been in the room where people who knew they were going to the Lord went to the Lord. And that is such a different experience. It's not even funny. And so my comment in that is, look, we should be thankful and appreciative. I understand there's conflict in this country. I understand there's conflict in the world. But there's a bigger war than America sees on the surface. There's the war for people's souls. And that war, that has an eternal mark. And so what we ought to be is appreciative that we are able to say, I love the gospel. I love the truth. That's why the scripture says, buy the truth and sell it not. Okay, trivia answer was, Jesus said, little girl, I say unto you, get up. So get up would have worked. Got it? Okay. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a wholehearted welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you and a very important point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there. And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation, desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect Father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect Father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the father and the father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the Father's like. Now listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect Heavenly Father who reveals His will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me, and I'll heal your land. Now, listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in his hand. Our king, our shepherd, our father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal, and I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have. I always will.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Every time I hear that James Robeson piece, I love that, especially that last line. I've used imperfect vessels. I always have, always will. That is one of the ways that I keep going. I'm just telling you right now, because the Lord knows. I don't come before the Lord and go, hey, I'm really righteous. I come before the Lord and say, thank you for not slaying me in the last 24 hours. Are you kidding? I don't think people realize that every one of those errant thoughts that we don't reject, that we accept and let us be a part of us, that's trouble. That's all I'm going to say. Here we go. Next trivia question. When Jesus, Mary, and Joseph left Egypt, should we put a buzzer on this one? This is a tough one, so give me a buzzer. We're going to need it. Go ahead. Okay, that's my way of saying you must think. When Jesus, Mary, and Joseph left Egypt, which town did they go to ultimately? Okay, there, I'll just leave it there. 972-445-0770. That's the number to call in. 214-210-8483. That's the text. People doing an excellent job on that. Was that email? David@hemustincrease.org. There's that one. And so you have that opportunity to do that. In the meantime, we do have, I think, history, right? We still have history? Okay. All right, here we go. Fire away.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
Okay. Here we go. We got a couple of them. There's only one. There's only two that are foodies, and they're not like the best foodies for us. Like, you know, it's not like pizza day or spaghetti day. I'm just saying, it's just not the best. First, let's do these other ones. National Airplane Crop Duster Day. I think of what? Independence Day, when the guy did the field cropping in the wrong field. I mean, that's what I think of. Clean Your Floors Day. Okay, if they would have named it Clean Your Floors from All the Dog Toys Day, I would have really related. I can't relate otherwise. Grab Some Nuts Day. So it's like for pecans and walnuts. And then it's Watermelon Day, which, by the way, is – now, see, you don't like watermelon? Are you serious? I mean, that and cherries are my two favorite fruits. Really? You like cherries? You like?
I like cherries.
Hey, you're killing me. Mm-mm. You're killing me. I mean, you can't. I'm over here. I'm dying. All right. Let's see. In 19, this is a weird thing, so I'll say it real carefully. 1914, Germany declared war against France in World War One. I don't know how that made it into this list. 1946, the NBA, National Basketball Association, is founded. In 1958, nuclear submarine USS Nautilus traveled beneath the Arctic ice cap. Oh, I bet that was cold. Because they're underneath the Arctic ice cap. That's right. That's the only kind of commentary you're getting, folks. I can't give you anything else. When Jesus, Mary, and Joseph left Egypt, what town did they go to? Where did they end up? That's the key. And in the meantime, we'll skip their website and go right into the mess because I got it. This is going to be a little longer one. Okay. Now, you guys know I'm fairly committed to, well, at least the goal here is to encourage one another, strengthen one another. My part of my goal in my brain is when I'm encouraging you, I also get encouraged, just so you can know. So there's a little bit of selfishness there. But there's the things that we get encouraged in are important too. So I could say, oh, I encourage you to give, and then I think it's more manipulative, okay? Or I encourage, and I do think that. That's why you hear me talk about it pretty on a pretty limited basis. Or I encourage you to, you know, do this or do that, or, you know, take this activity. The things I want to encourage you in are the things that you and I desperately need to be in sync with God in, so that we can do the things that God has called us to do. It's my contention that every single person who is a Bible-believing, born-again Christian has a gift or giftings from the Lord to be used by through the Lord to his glory, for his people, for the saved, for the unsaved. There's no way around any of that. You can, you know, try and bounce up and down on it. That's why I'm against lone wolf Christianity. I call it lone wolf McQuaid Christianity. So you can't do that. It's not going to work. Got to be part of a body. And so some of the biggest stuff we talk about is praying. We talk about sharing for one another. Talk about intercessory. This is, I think, for me, the rock where I find my strength. And so I want to share with you, when I came across this, I was like, oh, I love this. So I hope you do too. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. So we got somebody calling in, and we'll take that call. But what I want you to catch from this, okay, this is not what I'm saying. Nothing that I say qualifies in any of this. What the word is saying about itself is that when we accept God's word, his truth, 66 books, 39 in the old, 27 in the new, starts with Genesis 1:1, ends with Revelation 22:21, about 785,000 words in the King James Bible and 760,000, I think, in the NIV, somewhere around there. That word has such an impact on our lives. Not my preaching of it, not the best preaching, not Billy Graham's preaching of it, not anybody's preaching. God's word has such an impact. We're going to take this call, and then I'm going to come back and answer the depth of that. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, brother. This is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. How are you, my good brother?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. That's why I like to share, is because I'm blessed.
Well, I just want to say you've really created a little firestorm with your idea to help Samson out, because there's been checks coming in and people reaching out, and that was definitely the Lord. So if you're wondering, gee, am I in the will of God? The answer on that's going to be, uh-huh.
Amen. Yeah, that's right. I'm praying that he may not get his Jaguar or something like that, but maybe he'll get something and get him down the road and back.
Yeah, that's the key right there. Although I like that line, it's not going to get you a Jaguar. That's pretty good, dude.
If we didn't get him enough money for a car, at least we can satisfy his tummy and his family's tummy. So I know we got enough money to do that, getting groceries on his table. So
yep.
We're hoping to get a car, though. Praying for that.
Well, good job on that, I will tell you. So I appreciate that. And everybody who is participating and hears about it, they're thankful for it. All right, my good friend. When Jesus, Mary, and Joseph left Egypt... So this is after they're in Egypt. Now they're coming back. What town did they go to?
Well, I mean, I guess I'm going to say Nazareth.
That is correct, Amanda! You are correct. That's, of course, one of the great lines that people miss in the scripture is when Philip goes, I think it's Philip. It's not Philip. It's Nathaniel, where he goes, can anything good come from Nazareth? it's like saying it's not a great place. That's a nice way to say it. So excellent. Excellent job, brother. I appreciate it. Good job.
All right. Everybody, just hang in there and don't give up. Share what you can, and we appreciate your love.
There you go. There it is from our brother. I appreciate it, Ace.
We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye. God bless you. All right. Good job by Ace.
He's not going to get a Jaguar. That's good. That's
That's a pretty good line right there. All right, let me go back to this because I only have limited time. So for this reason, we constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really was, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. The key about the word of God and making the word of God a difference between that and reading it as a dusty old book is you having faith that God is speaking through that book by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, when you don't do that, you get nothing from it. When you do that, it performs the work it's designed to do and make your spirit revive. Keep in mind, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is alive. It's what? Alive and powerful, sharper than any of the sharpest of two-edged swords, cutting between the soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It expresses our inmost thoughts, exposes our inmost thoughts and desires. The same breath that went into Adam to make him a living being is the same breath that went into the word of God, which is why the scripture says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. How did Adam become a living entity? God breathed into him. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And don't forget Isaiah 55:11. I can do this all day. The word of God never returns empty. It is the same with my word. I send it out. It always produces food. I will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. You can even be blessed just by reading. Listen, this. You know, if you just read the word, you know you can be blessed. You're thinking, well, I thought you got to mix with faith. True, except for in Revelation, there's an exemption. Revelation 1:3, the one who reads this is blessed. And those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep what is written in it are blessed because the time is near. And there's your exemption. Here's the bottom line. If you read the word and you have faith and confidence that it is God's word, the Holy Spirit will activate that word and make it alive in you. And that word will strengthen you and bring life into you like God's breath did into Adam. Without that breath, sorry, he's still mud. Not much happening. With that breath, he's alive. Well, the law of the Lord is perfect, able to restore the soul. You down? You low? Get your BFN in the book, your big fat nose, and the breath of God will breathe on you, and you will have life. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
bear.
Come here.
When Josh and Ash are feeling bummed, plus all their friends are being dumb, that's when they need some joy and fun, which they can get from their amazing son, Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear. When things seem to be going wacky, he's the spoon that makes them happy, Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear.
The David Spoon Experience.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I have to tell you, so Aunt Deb said, yeah, it's better it shouldn't be a Jaguar. There's too many parts and too many problems. This is our audience. Yeah, it's better it's not a Jaguar. There's just too much to fix. We are weird people. Here's the next trivia question. Who did Jesus say were like whitewashed tombs? Who did Jesus say were like whitewashed tombs? Okay. Who was that? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. Also, you can text in 214-210-8483. And then also, you can send an email to David at hemustincrease.org. We are, I'm going to believe it or not, we're going to do a Greek word. Get ready. I'm just changing it up live right here. Let's do a Greek word for our audience. Okay. Still, baklava. This has to be something like that. Acts chapter 9, verse 20. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues. This is referring to Saul becoming Paul, but then not yet named Paul, so he's still Saul. It is true that in the older Bibles, they'll say Saul is destroyer and Paul is builder, but that's not accurate. It just sounds good. It does sound good, but it's not accurate. Preached. Get ready for this one. Ready for the word preached in the Greek? Caruso. Caruso. No, wait. Like David Caruso, the actor. It's like Caruso preached. And it means to tell abroad, to publish, to herald, to propagate, to publicly proclaim, exhort, call out with a clear voice, communicate, or to preach. Preached. Caruso. There you go. So if you're like, hey, you're not careful, I'm going to Caruso to you. That in a quarter, you still can't make a phone call, but you could do that. I'm just saying. All right. The question is straightforward. That's right. I'm having a good time. Who did Jesus say were like whitewashed tombs? As you guys are working on that, you can call in 972-445-0770 or text in 214-210-8483. Again, you just would never believe I drink slow me down tea. So weird. Let us talk about the parable of the sower. We're not talking about threads. Luke 8, 11 through 15. Now the parable is this. This is the parable being defined. So we're no longer in the parable notion. We're in the parable explanation. Okay? The parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Okay? Do everybody understand that? The seed is the word of God. So when it says the sower went out to sow seeds, the seed is the word of God. Those besides the road are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so they will not believe and be saved. Just so you can know, this is Jesus giving the definition of the parable, explaining it. So now it's no longer a parable. It's being explained as a teaching, and he tells people in his explanation, look at the seeds that were there that quickly disappear. Satan is taking those seeds out of people's hearts.
People are like, well, he can't do that. Well, then tell Jesus he's wrong, okay? Verse 13, those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and at time of temptation, they fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life. Three things. Worries, that's anxieties. Riches, that's money, paying bills, things like that. Pleasures of this life. I'm not getting mine. I deserve to have more pleasure. Where's mine? Those things dominate people's thoughts. So when the word comes and they hear the word, it's like, great, they've heard the word. But because they're so committed to the fighting against the anxiety, which is why Jesus says, don't worry, fighting to get riches so that they can have enough in the bank, so that what's the third thing? They can enjoy the pleasures of life. And Jesus says, anybody who lives along that theory, along that schematic, I don't care if he's socialist, communist, capitalistic, none of that matters. If somebody is so committed to them putting down all anxiety, being fully committed to making sure they have money in the bank and living on their pleasures, you're taking the word of God and making it of no effect, because he says it brings, if they choke the fruit, and it brings the fruit to no maturity. They're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. None. It's like, yowza. And then he says this, but the seed in the good soil are those are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Here's what we know about these four types, because there's all kinds of theologies on this, right? There's four kinds of people. There's a person that hears the word and zeppo, Satan takes it away. There's another person that hears the word and thinks it's great, but as soon as they come against a trial, it's like, I'm gone. There's another person that hears the word, and it's not they like the word. It's not that they don't like the word. It's fantastic. But they're so much more committed to the worries and the riches and pleasures of the life that the fruit never comes forward. And then there's those people who are hearing the word with an honest good heart. They're holding it fast, and they're bearing fruit. And then in his explanation, he talks about 30, 60, and 100 fold. Here's the thing. Out of those four types of people, which one do you want to be? Don't give me the theology. If Jesus told you that story, wouldn't you go, I want to be the fourth one. I want to be the fourth one. I want to be the one that bears some fruit. I don't care if it's 30, 60, or 100 fold. I don't care if it's one fold. I want to be somebody who doesn't have the word yanked out, who doesn't fall away because of a trial, who doesn't pursue riches and worries and pleasures of this life and has no fruit produced. I want to be the fourth person. I want to be the fourth seed people. I know a bumper sticker's coming, right? I'm a fourth seed person. As soon as you see that, you know exactly what they're talking about. The key is, of course, to operate in verse 15. The seed that's in good soil are the ones that have heard the word in an honest and good heart, hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance. There are four things that define what this is. And by the way, this will help you understand that when you hear certain things in the word, when you read the word, when you process the words, why some things have more of an intensity or a grip in your life than other things. This will tell you why right now. The ones that hear the words, who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Four things. You hear it, you hold it, you bear it with perseverance. Those are the four things. For those of us that love to hear the word, we're all hearing it. Most of the time, to some degree, we're holding it. Sometimes, however, we're not bearing fruit from it because we're abandoning the perseverance in it. That doesn't mean that we're dropping to the other three. It just means that there's different levels of fruit for you and I to take in. But the scripture tells us clearly we should hear it, we should hold it, we should bear fruit and persevere in it. Because when we do that, when we're doing that, then we're doing the responsive part to the Lord. It's not overly complex in that theology part. I mean, you can break it down, and there's probably been 2 or 3,000 commentaries on this. I'm serious. If Jesus was telling this story, he'd be like, okay, so one person hears it and it goes zippity-doo-dah out. Another person hears it and they go, yay, and then they jump and bail. Another person hears it and they go, that's great, but I got to pay my bills. Another person hears it and goes, I want this to be active in my life. Which do you want to be? I want to be the fourth seed guy. I want to be the person who listens to it. I want to be the person who hears it, who holds it, who bears it, and perseveres through it. That's who I want to be. Jesus is like, yeah, that's a good idea. As complex as it is not that complex. What's the problem is the mindset or the priority and the commitment to it. And that's where it becomes very much an issue. Okay? It's very much an issue because we often hear the word, and I'm not talking about Sundays where the guy's preaching. That's not even what's being said. And you know why it doesn't just mean Sunday? Because the seed is scattered along a road, along a path, along a garden. It's all over the place. So it's obviously the exposure is much broader. But what we need to do is have hearts that are cultivated. You can't have your heart so hard, the dirt in your heart so hard that a seed can't fall in there and germinate and plant and, you know, like, and grow and produce fruit. That's why we got to be praying, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me, generate in me a heart that's soft. If you prick my heart, Lord, let it bleed. I want to bleed. I don't want to have a heart of stone where I don't respond to you. I don't hear you. We should all be praying every day. You don't have to pray it exactly that way, but you can just say, Lord, give me a right heart, honest and good heart, one that's soft before you. So that's what we want. We want that kind of thing. You want to be a fourth seed person, and you want to hear it, hold it, bear it, and persevere in it. Does that make sense? Yeah, somewhere in there it makes sense. Okay, to whom did Jesus say you were like whitewashed tombs? I'm going to give a little leeway on this because the most direct answer is the Pharisees, but it would also be true that it's the Sadducees, but it would also be true that the scribes are involved because in the entire Matthew 23, he nails all of them. It's just like, you guys. Okay, all right. All right, all this done, you take the word. Receive it, respond to it, draw closer to the Lord in it, be blessed because of it. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, 22 and a half hours. We'll be back. More Insanity with Spinanity. Talk to you then.
Can't stand the shame. It may be false, but it feels the same. So I punish myself.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.